Go and get the squirrel. Well, she needs to use up some energy. It's 5 to 11 on Wednesday the 16th of September. I think I've... I'm still not over the jet lag. It's a funny old thing. I thought jet lag was just a case of... I thought jet lag was just a case of awake at night, asleep during the day, but it's clearly not. I wasn't very well on Monday, not the best yesterday, and extremely lethargic today. To be honest, the only reason I'm out the house is because I'm having to go and hand in a couple of repeat prescriptions for the children. And the temperature here, or even the climate, is vastly different from that of Arizona or California or Nevada, where it was last week. Yeah, well, so I'm here to tire Molly out as well. The temperature was something that I've experienced before, but it was like a blast furnace at times. And the any breeze or wind was quite literally the temperature of a hairdryer blowing against you. And I think I've consumed more water in 13 days than I have all year. That kind of heat makes me feel, well, I'm never really hungry. I lived in Cyprus and I never felt hungry. And then I would feel quite weak. Have something to eat and think to myself, oh, you're hungry. And I certainly wish I was back in the US right now. It was my first time and I absolutely loved it. And you know, there was none of that stereotype that we're quite familiar with in the UK. Gee, do you know Bob from Birmingham? None of that. Or, so do you live near London? None of that. All the Americans that we met and talked to were extremely, extremely polite. And, funnily enough, had a fairly good knowledge of the geography of our country. I actually couldn't get over how polite everyone was. Was it because they thought I was Australian? Like they thought we were? They were equally happy to hear that we were British. But the whole experience was just, for me, life-changing, you know? In a way, I've been and I've seen and I've done it now, and it's something I definitely want to do again. It's pushed me to try and make provision to do my bike license again. I did it in 1997, week-long intensive, but never got my test pass certificate into the DVLA, and I think the thing about Bike riding in America is, it was so easy. Not that I was riding the bike, of course. I was the pillion passenger. But it wasn't very challenging, let's say. I think the only challenging bits were what was it called? Salt Lake Canyon? And then riding into Williams in the hoofing down rain. And I suppose the riders were apprehensive at riding those 400 kilogram Harley Davidson Glide Ultras with pillion passengers around some snaky little bends. And there weren't many of those in the 10 days that we were there, let me tell you that. The longest, straightest roads I have ever known in my life. I was in Canada and I drove on the Route 1, the Trans-Can Highway. But the roads going through Arizona, there was one point we didn't turn. There was no bend. It just went straight for 2 hours. We were riding for 2 hours. Unbelievable. I didn't expect them to be that long and that straight. And then there were other times where we would wish that there was a bend over the next crest, and nope, it went on for another 10 miles straight. Over the next crest, nope, went on for another 10 miles straight. Over the next crest, oh, 60 miles in a straight line at another time. The interstates, big motorways to us British people, the interstates were fine, really. The only interstate that was a bit hairy was coming back into Los Angeles on Friday. The traffic was just, it was like the M25. It was just ridiculous. And apparently that was the easiest they've ever got back into LA. It was a fantastic experience. I've made a lot of new friends who are good people. I saw some fantastic things. Las Vegas, Grand Canyon, Meteor Crater. Oh, spoken to some fantastic people. And I still haven't pushed up any audio, the little that I did record. I should do that today, really. I've got an errand to run this afternoon, take tomorrow to the orthodontist. Come here, Paul. I quite enjoyed the heat, although it was just 10 days of sweating. I had no achy bones or joints or muscles. No colds. I've come back here, it's quite the opposite. It's been grey. And on and off rain since I've been back. And it's cool. The horse chestnut trees are turning brown and losing leaves already. Sycamore. Losing leaves, beaches turning brown, and when I see that, I kind of think, God, this year's gone quick. In a way, I've kind of enjoyed this year. In a way. I felt quite sad. Literally quite sad when we were riding into Santa Monica, because that signified the end of that trip to the States. And you know, I know I haven't, the minimal bit that I saw of California, the minimal bit that I saw of Nevada, I absolutely loved Arizona. Loved it. So I felt a little depressed coming home. Drop it. If it weren't for the fact, come on, drop it. Have you had enough now? If it wasn't for the fact that new toys are arriving next week. Yes, the wife and I have ordered the new iPhone, which I'm looking forward to. And I couldn't believe that t'was Sarah who was most enthusiastic about it. So they're coming next week. And thank you, EE, for giving me a huge discount on the phone. The cost of the phone. I suppose that's for another time. I spent, you know, 10 days in and out the pockets of other people and never really had much time to myself. I had a room buddy all week, nice guy, John, good guy, another friend for life. And I think everyone was sensible with their alcohol intake, as I used to slope off a bit earlier than everyone else to go and enjoy some quietness in bed and, you know, no voices, no noise. And then John would come into the twin room that we always had every night. Twin room with king-size beds. Unbelievable. But he used to come in not long after me and just being sensible. Drop it then. Molly, you've got a mouthful of mud. Come on, let's go and get these prescriptions in. I kind of miss speaking to you lot as well. I've missed just about all the audio. I'd get into bed at night and I was out for the count within a minute. After catching up on some social media. Somebody's decided to settle out their jacket. Very good. But it's nice to come back to the family and they clearly miss me. This is the first time in a fortnight that I've actually felt tired in the morning. I'd get up raring to go every single day. I'd be up and I'd clean the bike, even though my rider was saying, you don't need to do that. I was quite proud of the fact. So I'd clean the bike and make sure everything was ready to rock. Ron Marshall was my rider. What a really nice guy. So that was my first experience of riding on a Harley-Davidson. And I can see the huge culture of Harley-Davidson in America, actually. You know, I don't believe it has the same kind of ideals in the UK. Drop it then. Drop it. You know, and everybody in the States has Harley-Davidson. Although, well, I saw 6 sports bikes in all of the time I was there. And 4 of those were on Friday going back into LA. Everybody had a Harley. And they're big, lumpy things. They're not particularly that comfortable. The two tour guides each had a Honda Goldwing, which were supremely more comfortable, powerful. But it's just that thing about the Harley, you know, it's like, you know, it's like buying an old Range Rover. You're buying it for its style and its V8 engine. It's the same, probably the same reason people buy Harleys, you know. You know, Range Rovers are known for their fuel consumption, but people still buy them. Harley Davidson are known for not being very particularly powerful or fast. They've just got huge engines and lots of chrome, and they sound mean. So the same difference applies. Anyway, better get these prescriptions in.
All one word.
All one word.
Out.
One word.
Out.
One word.
Out.
Out.